Hi, good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. If you have your Bibles with you, you may wish to refer to it. Acts chapter 13, 1 to 12. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
Well, it's good to be with you again this morning. I hope you are with some others this morning, maybe family, maybe some friends, wanting to worship God and to hear God's word. Do you know, as we think about the missionary advance beginning, I want to say right at the beginning that COVID-19 does not have the power to stop the advance of the gospel. COVID-19 does not have the power to stop the advance of the gospel. You see, our God is not constrained in his work by sickness, by imprisonment or persecution or a pandemic or even by death. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Christ is doing his work no matter whether it's a pandemic or not. He has been doing it for 2,000 years. He will continue his work. Now, one of the great things has been during this pandemic that the gospel has gone out in unprecedented levels via online ministries. A service like this has been watched by hundreds of people. Millions around the world have tuned in to worship services. Men and women who would not go near a church have heard the gospel. They've heard it sung. They've heard the word of God read. They've heard people pray. And they've heard the word of God preached. And God across the globe has changed life during this time. You see, when terrible things happen in the world, God is still able to turn them for good. And friends, I've been praying for spiritual alertness to gospel opportunities during this time. I love what Brett has just shared with us about those three P's and saying hello to people. In fact, just the other day, I was on my walk. I try to have a walk most days, and I was walking down Mort Street in Mortdale. And I didn't initiate a conversation at all. I didn't say hello to anyone. But these two drunk guys were walking down the street. And one was quite large and one's a little bit thinner. And I tried to avoid them, as you do with drunk guys, right? You try not to get in their way. They might fall over you. And this guy said, "Are you religious?" He pointed at me. And I looked around to see if there was anyone else there. No, he was pointing at me. And I went, let's go with this. I said, oh, well, in fact, I am. I believe in God, I said to him. And well, he's almost falling all over the place and his mate's trying to hold him up. And he went, no, you're not, he said. I said, I am. I really believe in God. I'm not kidding you. I believe Jesus is God's son who died and rose again. In fact, I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. Went, no, his eyes almost popped out, falling all over the place. And he kept going. He said, you know, you wouldn't believe what has happened to me in my life. Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. He says, he's just almost falling over the place. And his mate was almost trying to protect me a little bit from his bigger friend. And he said, really, you're a pastor? He said, I said, oh, you've got an accent. I said, where's your accent from? He said, I'm from Poland. I said, oh, I was near Poland just a couple of years ago. I was in Germany, in Berlin. He said, oh, I only live 100 k's from Germany. I said, by the way, I have a lady in my Bible study group who's Polish. Love Polish people. And he said to me, he said, so where's your church? He said, around here. I said, oh, it's Nowy Baptist Church. It's not very far from here. And you can Google us. You can watch our live stream. And at that, I was able to say, nice to meet you guys, sort of talk to you guys. And off I went. Sometimes God gives you opportunities that you don't expect. You can be praying for those three people, but be open to whoever God brings your way. Friends, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even to the drunks of Mortdale, right? Whoever comes in your way. Now, Acts 13, let's get some context here. It's a decisive point in the narrative. You see, in keeping with Christ's prophecy in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, witness has been born to him in Jerusalem. That was in chapters 1 to 7. In all Judea and Samaria, that's chapters 8 to 12. Now the horizon's broadened to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit has come. The church has been established. We see two deacon evangelists have prepared the way. Stephen, by his teaching and his martyrdom, chapters 6 and 7. Philip, by his bold evangelization of the Samaritans and the Ethiopian in chapter 8. We see two major conversions also have prepared the way for the spread of the gospel. Saul was commissioned as an apostle to the Gentiles by Jesus. Cornelius, a Gentile, was converted through the witness of Peter. Further in chapter 11, we hear that unnamed evangelists, just believers have gone out, have preached the gospel to the Greeks in Antioch. Don't know who they are, but a church has been established in Antioch. Now the move is to the ends of the earth. So how does that happen? We'll notice firstly in verses 1 to 3, we have a prayerful, cosmopolitan and spirit-led church. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So Acts 13 opens up with a thriving church in Antioch in Syria. Antioch's geographic, military, and economic location made it an important and cosmopolitan city. There you have people from all parts of that known world are coming together and mixing. It's a melting pot of cultures. A bit like Australia, really. And the church comprises of people of all those different communities. It's been started by people that are not named, but they're evangelists. Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, comes to help them to grow. The Apostle Paul, Mr. Theologian, comes to help in teaching and training. The church has been built up. The church grows, we're told in Acts chapter 11. A growing church that is cosmopolitan. Barnabas is a bicultural Jew from Cyprus. Simeon is a Hebrew name. He's called Niger, which means black, presumably a black African. Lucius, which is a Roman name of Cyrene, is definitely from North Africa, from Libya, what we know as Libya today. Probably brought up in a Roman culture, but from North Africa. Manaen is a Greek form of a Hebrew name. So this man was probably a Hellenistic Jew, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That is, Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great.
So here's someone specifically mentioned who's grown up with him, maybe in a family relationship, maybe a foster brother, someone says, or an intimate friend, someone who had wealth and power, right? And we have Saul, the Jewish professor, who came from Tarsus and Cilicia. They symbolize, and I think it's important here, it's important for the church in Australia, the ethnic and cultural diversity of Antioch. And friends, as we seek to reach out to people in our community, we want to see all the nations that are around us represented here in this church, in its membership and in its leadership. He said, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I love the fact that they're a church that sought God. They were worshiping, they were singing and praying. I know we can't do it together at the moment, but I hope you sing at home when the videos are being played. Well, we're singing in this place. I hope you're singing at home. They are fasting. See, they're foregoing food and foregoing any number of other things. You can forego other things in order to draw closer to God, to have a more spiritual frame of mind. And John Stott says, for seldom, if ever, is fasting an end in itself. It is a negative action, abstention from food and other distractions, for the sake of a positive one, worshipping or praying. So these people are deeply spiritual. They're seeking God. They want to know God's mind, and they are praying for God's direction. Maybe they're praying for God's direction in world mission. They know the gospel is to go to the ends of the earth. They know that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. They know they've been preaching the gospel and people have been saved. And as they gather, God speaks. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Now, the message may have come from one of the prophets. It may have been just as they prayed, they sensed together God's word and God's wisdom. And often we pray and we think together and we sense what the Holy Spirit is saying. It doesn't have to be a specific word like that. It can be us gathering together, seeking God, and God speaks and encourages us. You see, when God called Millard and Joyce to go to Lebanon as missionaries, we as a church with them sense the calling of God and the minister of the Spirit, and we sent them 18 years ago. When Ado was called by God to go to Southeast Asia to work, and he sensed the calling of God and he shared it with the church and our mission committee, and we, as we sought God, agreed that this was a thing of God, and 20 years later, he's still doing that work for the gospel. When Emily felt the call of God to go to Africa to serve in a specific country, and she shared that vision, that call of God, we prayed with her and see the worker and the church working in partnership to send her out. It's a little bit of how it works, doesn't it? We pray, we seek God, and God speaks. It's a church that listened to the Spirit, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So God says, yeah, well, I think you guys should go. And they didn't say, well, no, they're our best guys. They're staying here, right? Imagine sending Barnabas and Paul off. You're two best people. Now, you should go to other people. That's hard to let them go, but they listen to the word of God. They commissioned and sent out its best. And I think that's important to realize here. And sometimes it's hard to send out your best leaders. Let me say, as a pastor, you want to keep all your best people here, right? Your members, your staff, you want to keep everyone here. You don't want to send them out anywhere else because you love them, you love partnering with them. And over the years, in 23 years here at the church, we've sent out people to other places. And someone has said the measure of a church is not in her seating capacity, but in her sending capacity. It is keeping a kingdom perspective. That we are called to send out workers and missionaries and pastors and leaders and so on all over the place. And I was just reflecting a little bit of some of the people that God has sent out from this place. Not all of them, just some of the ones I'll mention. Kelly Landrigan to the Hunter Bible Church, now a missionary in France. Ash and Cass Seaton to Southeast Asia for over 10 years, now mission work in Australia. Michael Henderson to Fredges Forest Baptist Church, now serving in Tasmania. Ray McWhirter to Blakehurst Baptist Church, now working with our Baptist denomination. Wayne Forward to the Nelson Bay Baptist Church, now working with Pioneers in Melbourne. Michael Leader, now pastoring the Beverly Hills Baptist Church. Ricky Sue to chaplaincy in the Australian Army, Tim McBride to Morling College, now Dean of Bible and Theology, Nathan Durs to Orange Baptist Church 6 years ago. How time flies. Glenn Devenish to Cardiff Heights Baptist Church, having been with us for many years, pastoring the church up there. Friends, we send out gospel workers and it hurts when we send them out. We miss people and we grieve their loss, but the kingdom grows, whether it's in Lebanon or Orange or France or Newcastle or Nauwe. We need to be a sending church, a church that trains and sends pastors and missionaries and youth workers and university workers to our cities, our country towns, and to the ends of the earth. But this is a church that has worked in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. So he said the Holy Spirit sent them out, but the church sent them out. And verse 4a, we're told, the two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. One time, Luke writes, the church sent them out. Another time says the Holy Spirit sent them out because the church and the Holy Spirit work together in the sending process. Secondly, having been sent out, the work begins on the beautiful island of Cyprus. I've never been there, but they tell me it's a beautiful island. So the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Why did they choose Cyprus? We're not sure. Possibly because Barnabas was from Cyprus. It was close to where they were to start the journey. We note that John Mark is with them as a helper. He's Barnabas' cousin. Maybe they're catching up with family on the journey as well. They took a ship sailing from Seleucia, the port near Antioch on the coast, to Cyprus and arrived at Salamis, a commercial city on the east coast of Cyprus. And I want you to know something right at the beginning. A Spirit-led mission proclaims the gospel. A Spirit-led mission proclaims the gospel. Because what did they do is they traveled. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So they go to the synagogues, they're Jewish people, so that's where they go first to preach the gospel. The Spirit leads them into the synagogues. I want you to notice that they're preaching the gospel. Now, it is said that Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Get that? He said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, say words or use words. Well, firstly, it's questionable whether St. Francis of Assisi ever said that. And secondly, let me say to you, kindly, it's nonsense, right? It's nonsense. It is not enough to love, to serve, to feed the poor, and to pray for your friend. Somewhere and sometime, you have to speak about Jesus. So it's great that you may have been meeting with a friend for 5 years, building a relationship, maybe a co-worker. But there has to be a point where you point them to Christ and give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ, to give them something to read, to consider the claims of Christ. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. The missionaries then travel across the island to Paphos. They travel through the whole land until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. So conflict's about to take place, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. What a great opportunity it is, isn't it? They arrive in the city and they receive an invitation from a leader, the Roman ruler of Cyprus, the proconsul. He's heard of these two missionaries. He wants to know what they're proclaiming. Sometimes God lands these beautiful opportunities in your lap. You know, ask for them. Someone calls you in and they ask you about your faith. It's beautiful when they do that. Now, I have a friend who has built a relationship with the local mayor in his suburb. He meets with him regularly. He prays with him. He shares Christ with him. He's led him to Christ. And now he mentors him. A few years ago, a local member rang me and said, can I come and ask for your opinions about marriage and homosexuality and the Christian message. Sure, come and sit in my office. He wanted to come to me, sat in my office for over an hour and asked me questions about faith, about homosexuality and same-sex marriage and so on. For an hour or so, we're able to talk through what the Bible says about gospel truth and about godly relationships. Sometimes God gives them to you. Friends, as you pray in the three P's, be available to how God will just land opportunities before you as you are prayerful. But friends, there is serious opposition. Great opportunity, but then there is this fellow called by Jesus, a false prophet, a Jewish sorcerer, a magician of some form. He opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Now, people like Elymas would be well-versed in astronomy and astrology, agriculture, maths, and history, a bit like the Magi that we know about. But this guy seems to be linked with occult practices and with infamy in understanding and interpreting dreams. And so although he's called by Jesus, he means son of salvation, he's really an evil one. He is a sorcerer. Now, politicians of the day would have people like this by their side. They try to give them advice and wisdom and insight and maybe do some special spells to help them out. And he's not very happy that his boss is interested in Barnabas and Saul. John MacArthur says, leading someone to Christ is not merely an academic exercise, nor is it a matter of making a successful sales pitch. Rather, it involves all-out war against the forces of hell. Saul and Barnabas battled by Jesus for the soul of Sergius Paulus. I wonder how many times you've invited a friend who doesn't know Jesus, maybe to come to church or a special dinner or an outreach event, and they're going to come, and the last minute they ring up and say, sorry, I'm busy, I can't come. It's not just bad circumstances. It's the work of the enemy trying to hold people back from the gospel. Or someone has showed spiritual interest and they want you to talk to them about Jesus and then they cut you off so close and yet so far from the gospel. Friends, there is a spiritual battle taking place for the souls of men and women. And God calls us to pray and to present the gospel and to trust in God's power. And so Paul here received divine empowerment to confront this evil opposition. And Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is important, it's not in his strength, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you're a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. And God comes in immediate judgment. Immediately, mist and darkness come over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. This is what you might call a power encounter, where God works very powerfully to manifest his truth in the life of Elymas. That God is more powerful than his false teacher, this false prophet. He's not a son of Jesus, by Jesus. Really, he's a child of the enemy. He's really by devil. And through this encounter and through the preach of the gospel, there is significant success. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Notice that he sees and he believes, but also amazed about the teaching of the Lord. It's not simply he saw a miracle, he saw a judgment. No, he heard about the teaching of the Lord, is amazed by it, and was drawn to Christ. A combination of word and sign led to his conversion. And John Stott writes, surely, or Luke intends us to see Sergius Paulus as the first totally Gentile convert who had no religious background in Judaism. See, the gospel's going to the ends of the earth, right? And the gospel advances against all the odds. We all have a part to play, COVID or no COVID, but it's costly. There will be opposition. There will be sons of the devil who will seek to oppose us. But we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and to do God's work. Friends, if you never share your faith, you'll never look like a fool. If you never reach out to the needy, you'll never be taken advantage of. If you never give your heart to others, it will never be broken. If you never go to Cyprus, you'll never be subjected to a dizzy, heart-convulsing confrontation with Satan. Our vision as a church is to see lives transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Please pick up those three P's, will you? Consider at least one place where you go as a mission field. Two practices that you get you focused: praying, speaking, asking a question, showing interest in others, whatever it happens to be, and at least three people that you would pray for gospel opportunities, for God to work by His Spirit to create a spiritual interest in them. Will you join us in this mission? For there is no other name under heaven by which people may be saved other than the name of Jesus.